Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Gimmick Minute Wrestling Podcast. My name is Jason, and I'm joined this week by Kevin. Just Kevin. We don't have anybody else with us today, but that's okay because we're here to talk about who we think are the top five male and female wrestlers of 2023 and give our opinions on what we think is the best matches of 2023. So without further ado, if you want to join in on the conversation, you can do so. Just hit us up at Live Your Gimmick. That is the at symbol followed by LIVYOURGIMMICK. And yeah, that's really all I got to say about that, I guess. Kevin, what's up, man? How you doing?
Living the dream, man.
Living the dream. I love it. Yeah. So,
a little Saturday matinee recording.
Yeah. So our normal recording day is Thursday, but Riley came into town. We went to the Browns-Jets game, and then he drove home on Friday immediately after. So I could probably understand why he's probably still sleeping off the weekend. Like, it was pretty crazy. So, I get why he might still not be, because honestly, man, I feel it. Like, I've been exhausted. I don't have much of a voice. Like, as you can tell, I'm not as articulate, or not articulate, that's the wrong word.
Projecting.
I don't have quite I don't have the projection that I normally have. Yes, thank you, Kevin. So,
well, when the holidays too, this is the time of year where it's like, you don't know what day it is, you don't know what time it is, and you don't know what to do yourself sometimes. So,
but at least wanted to get an episode recorded so we get something out there. It doesn't necessarily have to be anything really long, but I thought, you know, what we keep in with the theme. I know AEW has their World's End pay-per-view tonight, so maybe we could, you know, kind of give a quick, you know, what we think might happen there. We just got a thumbs up from Riley, so maybe he will be joining us.
Or he's just liking the fact that he's like, yeah, I am good. So.
I'll just tell him to hop on and join us.
Oh.
But anyway, so we'll see if we'll be getting Riley in here. We can get his opinion on some of these topics as well. But, you know, what were we saying? Yeah, so holiday weekend.
Yep.
And
here we are at the end of 2023. And
right. So we got, just a few more hours left a little over 24 hours left of 2023 before we bring in the new year.
The funny thing is that looking back real quick, kind of like, piggybacking off our last show, I don't have them in my head and like in front of me, but there was definitely stuff I feel like we could have talked about more as far as what happened this year, as far as big events and whatnot. One I did want to bring up real quick, and we don't have to really talk about it, was Roman being pinned for the first time.
Yeah, it's
in
true.
Years. That did happen. So that honestly probably would have been on my list, and completely forgot about it. So just wanted to mention that.
Yeah.
How big that was.
Yeah, because that you know, the Bloodline Civil War that led up to SummerSlam. So that was pretty major. So that's a good point. You know, it's crazy to think that he had gone that long without even being pinned. Now, it wasn't a singles match, it was a tag match and what have you, but that did happen. So,
and then we didn't see him for 6 months, so
yeah, that's true.
Oh, Riley's on time change. Fuck up. So,
I still think I can afford
it. Yes.
Oh, man. So, this is probably the worst audio of a podcast to start off with ever, but, you know, with 2023 coming up, I just thought we kind of wrap things up nicely. Like, I know we tend to talk more about, you know, everything that's current, but sometimes it's fun just to kind of create some lists and go off of them.
Well,
and
WWE had their, you know, best stuff too, you know what I mean? So there really wasn't much going on.
Without a doubt. I kind of like that Raw show that they did because they incorporated some interviews and stuff like that. Plus, they kind of reminded you of things that were going on. And, you know, the I like that they kind of brought like Seth in, Becky in, and Cody and stuff like that. And they even kind of advanced some storylines here and there because they, you know, they didn't shy away from talking about like Punk and things like that too. So I thought that was pretty interesting, but I actually enjoyed it. I didn't watch the what they do on Friday.
I believe it was a tribute to Bray Wyatt.
Yeah. Oh, was it? Okay. I'll have to go back and see because that was yesterday.
Yeah. I don't know if it was a whole show or not. I didn't get a chance to see it or anything. I just saw, I think WrestleZone tweeted that SmackDown either was or is doing tributes to Bray Wyatt. It might have been the whole show. I don't know.
Huh. So. All right. That's cool. Oops. Close that window. All right. Well, what do you want to do first? You want to start getting into our list, or do you want to kind of look at World's End and just kind of give some opinions on that real quick?
I guess we talk. Let's get World's End out of the way. I mean, honestly, The only intriguing thing is as far as this whole Devil storyline to me. I know there's a lot on there. There's the finals of the Continental Classic. There's the stuff with Jericho, which we don't need to talk about right now until we get more details on that.
Yes. Let's at least say, though, as far as the internet wrestling community goes, or even our society in general, let's try maybe in 2023, or 2024, let's have a New Year's resolution to try to wait until some actual proof comes out, or there's some like stories that like actual like evidence comes out before we just make judgments on people and make assumptions and, you know, just basically try to ruin somebody's reputation and career over speculation. Ooh. I mean, let's just not rush to judgment. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
It does. I mean, as far as this whole thing, we saw the setup on Wednesday with the Devil's Men and Samoa Joe doing the old Seth Rollins turn and on MJF, and obviously he's working for the Devil. We don't know who the Devil is. We've multiple people. We don't. There was speculation of who the Devil's Men were. People were saying, "Oh, that looks like, you know, one of them looked like Bobby Fish. The other one was Kyle O'Reilly. Maybe they just packed, you know, put some weight on them under the body suits, which I could see." I mean, the one guy's face did have a distinct, like, beard. You know, you can see a beard of some type. So I think that's, you know, hopefully all come ahead tonight. I honestly feel like Samoa Joe is going to win tonight.
Yeah, so. I think so, too. I didn't see the match, though. So, like, was it... So was it like, was there a move set or anything that like maybe
so
could have
the finisher they used was the Heat Seeker, which I don't know whose finisher that is. I was like, I didn't really research into it. So I don't know. I didn't look into that.
Remind me what's the Heat Seeker.
I just heard somebody say they used the Heat Seeker to win. And I was like, I guess I didn't care enough to research it a little more. So I was kind of hoping you would know.
Oh, man.
So,
of course.
But no, that was the only thing that really, like, I mean, I guess major came out of that. Like I said, up close looking at them, like, I could see it being FTR just because one guy looked like Dax. You know, the possibility the one guy was, they said, look kind of like Michael Bennett. Like, I don't know. It was, they could sit there and say, like, oh, these are the actual people, but they might not actually be the actual people. We just don't know. So yeah. I think, I mean, it's got to be Adam Cole, honestly.
Yeah, I would think so. Like but at the same time though, like I can still see the scenario where the actual Devil is Britt Baker, and Adam Cole is one of the underlings, because Britt Baker has been very, very vocal. Like she sent out a tweet the other day about promo times, and it says something like MJF promo time last week on Dynamite, oh, yeah. 10 Rip minutes, Baker, and then like, whatever, yeah, for the entire 2023, nothing, like, just, yeah, I don't know, just, it's kind of weird, like, how she's been very vocal about stuff like that, and you're not seeing her on AEW TV at all, so it's just a matter of, what's she doing? Yeah. When is she? You know what I mean?
The big payoff when is she? Is that if Samoa Joe does win, you know, MJF goes, let's say, goes away, heals up, whatever. Like, you know, it's all going to be a matter of like there's so much more. If it is Adam Cole and all that, there's you know, lots still to be told. So it's just a matter of how they do it. As long as they don't throw it into like it never happened or six different storylines like they always do, you know, it's just a matter of we'll see what happens. So
yeah, but that's the thing though, like I don't see, I mean, I don't see MJF leaving if this is a whole scenario, yeah, like that, you know what I mean? Like, because that story is going to lead into, it would just be weird if that's the case and they screw MJF out of the title, right, and then he's just gone. Like, I, you know what I mean? I feel like, yeah, he's going to be around for longer. Like, you know, that kind of leads into what everybody else thinks is that he did re-sign a contract probably, last year or whatever. So he's probably got a lot more time.
I think at the end of the day, he's working to work and just a great worker and working all to work.
Yeah. So, yeah. He's working himself into a shoe.
Brother.
So, but yeah, man, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what happens, but I got, I was trying to find to see if I could find a video of the end of the show, just kind of see what that heat seeker is. But I have not seen a video of it. It's kind of weird. I need to change my recording settings so that it records like a half hour after or something like that. But I mean, the match didn't even start till the show went off the air. So I didn't see any of that match at all. Like, and it's just frustrating because back in the day when there was a Monday Night War, it was cool that the shows ran over and it kind of gave them a bit of an advantage one over the other. There's really no point to this, like every Dynamite show going over now, other than, okay, it gives us a little extra time and whatever, but it's like, there really isn't a point to it at all. it's just, and it's happening every week. So it's not just like a special occasion thing where, oh my gosh, you got to stick with it to see this match. Like, it's literally happening every week and it just, it's not as special at that point. So, you know, and I don't even know, like with DirecTV Stream, if I can record.
I mean, I don't know. I think you probably can. It's either that or you record. Well, you could record the show after. Like, my wife does. Please don't post this on TikTok because she watches our TikToks. But that's just the, I don't know how to do it, so I'll just do what I think is the right way. And there's probably an easier way of doing it. So.
I got you. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure, like, I remember, like, you know, DirecTV or any other recording service I've had has always giving you the option, you want to extend this,
and then you say yes or no
depending on what it is. Yeah, I've never seen it on there, so I guess I could go into the DVR settings and see, but I mean, it's just annoying. Like, it's really annoying. Like, what, you know what I mean? But yeah, anyway, let's see. Yeah, I still can't find it. Who surprised Joe at the end of Dynamite? That's from February 3rd. Like, that's...
fuck it.
Devils beat Joe and MJF. Let's see. All right, maybe I got it here. I wonder if I could share this. Let's see if I can put this on so we can both watch it together. This is going to be a trial thing that we're going to do here. All right.
Okay. Share. All right.
Boom. Yeah, all right, let's do this. Is this going to work?
Certainly
is this like the whole match
of the devil? And fans, we're getting close to the top of the hour. We're going to go past the top of the hour.
Yeah, but it won't record over.
In this matchup, this main event.
I wonder if we would get a copyright thing for showing this. If I put it on YouTube, we might. All right. Well, let's fast forward towards the end so we can see the move that ended it. Did MJF did Joe come out at the end? Did he get like? Were they like? Keeping him like bottled up or something like that for a while.
Yeah.
Okay.
That right there in the hand.
Yeah, you went a little too far there.
That AEW World Title.
Yeah, keep going. I'll tell you. I went too far. Back, I'll tell you when. Yeah, keep going.
Is it already over at this point?
Yes.
So they beat MJF before Joe even came out. All right, so Joe possibly could be one of them then.
Okay.
Heavy duty blow with that pipe. Oh, wait a second.
All right.
The heat sinker.
Can you hear the audio too?
He just got planted on the top of his head.
Cool. You know, I don't know what to do.
So that was the heat seeker.
What the hell?
That was the heat seeker.
We have new Ring of Honor. Yes, the best men in Ring of Honor tag team champs. You don't even know who they are.
That dude's pretty tall. I don't think. Yeah.
Yeah, and then
Joe comes out for the save. Okay. Yeah. All right. So we got to see what the heat seeker was. So it's kind of that was a pile driver.
Like, that's good. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
A watch along. I feel like we could do a watch along and then just turn the volume down. Yeah. We're watching it. And then if we want to, you know, cut to the audio kind of like they do in other podcasts, hey, let's hear this. So, yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Time for my dogs to go crazy.
Yeah. All right. There you go. Well, that was fun. I'm glad we can do that. But anyway, so, yeah, man, it's kind of interesting. Like, it's not really anything distinct to like really tell you, and it was kind of a beatdown match, so it's not like they were really doing a lot of tag moves. I think the height difference, I don't know if either one of them would be O'Reilly or I definitely don't see Cole in that, like, you know what I mean, but they could be wearing the body suits and stuff like that too, like you said, to make them look thicker and bigger. I definitely think the ones Wardlow, like the one guy that was just kind of, the one guy that entered after, like just kind of stood there, like stood kind of like Wardlow. But yeah, man, it's gonna be weird to see. You know, I really hope we do get some answer though to who the devil is at this point, because it's gone to the point where it's just gone on, I think, too long. But just running through the card real quick, you got Willow Nightingale versus Chris Statlander in the pre-show. They have a 20-man over-the-top battle royal for the TNT title in the pre-show. Hook has a match against Wheeler Yuta for the FTW championship in the pre-show. And then Brian, Claudio, Mark Briscoe, and Daniel Garcia are going to go up against Brody King, Jay White, Jay Lethal, and Roosh.
It's just,
I don't know what
that
has anything to do with.
Lost in the Continental Classic, just thrown into a match. That's my guess.
Okay. All right. And then in the weirdest, like, put-together match, Sting, Darby Allin, Chris Jericho, and Sammy Guevara versus all of Don Callis's boys. Well, not all. I guess Ricky Starks, Big Bill, and then Powerhouse Hobbs and Konosuke Takeshita. Like, that whole setup just did not make sense at all. Did you see Dynamite last week?
I didn't see the whole setup to that, so...
Don Callis comes out with his people, and he's got a bunch of pictures lined up, right? And then he's talking some smack, and then all of a sudden, Sammy Guevara comes out of nowhere. We haven't seen Sammy Guevara in months because, one, he had a concussion, then he had a baby.
I did see that. Okay.
Yeah. So the what leads to that is Sammy comes out, and then Don Callis cuts a promo saying, "Sammy, I didn't know you would be here today. But hey, I have a picture over here specifically for you for Boxing Day that I've been carrying around since October waiting for you to show up. But I didn't know you would be here, but I still have the picture out here because, right, you know, you're here," which that made zero sense. And then the picture was of Sammy holding his baby and everybody like around him. And he was like, "Well, who gave you permission to use my baby in a picture?" And then there was like this whole thing. And then like he basically, you know, insulted Callis. Callis had a couple insults for him. And then the whole family beat him up. Chris Jericho comes out with the bat and he clears the ring. But then they jump on Jericho. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the lights go off and they come back on and Sting and Darby Allin are there. And that's how this match came to be.
Oh.
I get. Oh, Riley's joining us. What's up, buddy?
Hey, I made it.
You made it.
You give someone the wrong time, they're going to show up late.
Well, we gave you the right time. You're just on the wrong time.
Tell someone 4:30.
Yeah, you got to show up at 4:30. You got to do the slash 3:30 central, yeah, central time.
Slash 3:30. My fault. Well, what about all the texts I was sending you beforehand?
I set my alarm and took a nap.
Oh, I gotcha.
I'm like, that, oh, okay. Sense. So my alarm will probably be going off here any minute to wake me up for a 4:30 session.
Well, I'm glad you joined us now. We haven't really gotten into our best ofs yet. We've been talking just a little bit about Dynamite and World's End tonight. We were just kind of just talking a little bit about stuff about that. But we found out we could do something really cool on the show here. So I'll show you basically. So I can hit this little share button and it brings up what I have on the screen and then we can play it.
Now here's George Cruising again.
So we can do a little watch along.
He's hobbling to the ring. He's a man of his word.
So that's kind of cool, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
We wanted to see what a hot shot was. Yeah. Look at that picture of Joe. What a pause face that was. That was great. So, we were talking about the end of Dynamite. I didn't get to see it because the DVR didn't record it. And Kevin said that they beat MJF using a move. What was the move called again? The Heat Seeker. And we didn't know what that was. So I looked up the video of what it was. And it's basically like a pile driver with the dude on the ropes.
I watched it.
You watched it? Okay. So you saw, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I watched AEW with you and it didn't record. So I had to drive home 10 hours just to
watch it. Just to watch it at AEW, home. You
know? Yeah. Just to watch 8 minutes.
Just to watch those 8 minutes. Yeah. Then we were talking about, you and I had already talked about how they brought together the Sting, Darby Allin, Chris Jericho, and Sammy Guevara, how that made zero sense. So now Miro and Andrade, they do have a bit of a story that's stemming from stuff going on in Collision, but I don't really watch Collision, but they did show kind of a preview for it on Dynamite. So there is actually some story going into that one. So there's that. Swerve versus Keith Lee. Reviving a story that's about a year old at this point that hadn't gotten paid off.
Wake up,
now,
buddy.
It's finally going to get paid off. I don't really understand. There's this alarm to wake up. So, but there's the, you know, they're reviving that storyline, which seems kind of weird to me that they're finally reviving it just to revive it. But we're finally going to get that match. But at this point, though, like, I feel like, I mean, Swerve has to keep winning, right? Like, kill his momentum if he loses to Keith Lee. Am I wrong?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it'd be kind of sweet if Swerve was the devil or something. I don't know. Maybe put him in the title picture, you know. I mean, all the momentum he's got with Hangman and all that stuff. Like, you know, maybe Hangman shows up tonight. You know what I mean? We get a little continuation with that, so.
Yeah, I guess if Hangman costs Swerve the match, then that's one thing. But Hangman also was the one who won, so I feel like Swerve would have to be the one to reignite the rivalry with Hangman, not the other way around. Oh, no, Swerve won. Never mind. My fault. Yeah, Swerve won the last one. Yeah, so that would make sense for Hangman to interfere in the match. Okay. All right. I could see that. That would work. Julia Hart versus Abaddon for the TBS title. One, I'm glad they're finally using Abaddon. They're not really using her the way they probably should, but good for that. It does have a little bit of story build into it. I still like Julia Hart, man. I think she needs to keep that title for a while.
Yeah, Abaddon's not a legitimate contender for it right now.
I don't
now.
Think so yet, no. I mean, they have so much potential, things that they could do with her that would be cool. That, you know, especially like her entrance needs to be like dark and like mysterious, you know, almost like an Undertaker-esque type entrance, not like brightly lit, you know, walking to the ring. It's just, there's so much potential they could do with Abaddon that they just haven't really tapped into yet. And then Christian Cage and Adam Copeland, no DQ for the TNT championship. That should be a fun match, but I mean, Nick Wayne's, how many times are we going to see this?
I mean, come on, why not? Make it. You want shockness? Let's go.
Has Christian and Nick Wayne's mom become official yet? Has that happened yet? I don't think so. Like, I feel like he needs to be wedding. Nick Wayne's stepdad at this point. Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great. Tony Storm versus Riho. There's been a little bit of a story there. Dude, did you see Paige made like a, I don't know if it was on TikTok. I saw it on Facebook, but it was like this video where it's like, I'm a female wrestler. And like, did you see that?
Yeah.
And then Tony Storm comes out of the bathroom in black and white and goes, I take 10 nervous shits before I go out and perform. It was pretty funny, though. But John Moxley versus Eddie Kingston, the finals of comedy. Like, I like that it came down to Mox and Eddie because there is a background there. There is a story there. I think it's going to be a fun match. I really kind of hope Eddie wins because Mox doesn't really need to. But I know, Riley, you don't really like Eddie Kingston, though, right?
I don't, but he's going to win.
You think so? Okay.
He's got to, right? Like. If I lose this last match, I'm done. I have to win like five more matches just to stay in it, and then he wins them all. And
yeah, just for it to be heartbreak, like for Adam to have it like ripped away from him, like the heartbreak. I guess that's, you know, that would be a story base for him. But and then you got MJF versus Samoa Joe for the AEW World Championship. You know, I think Samoa Joe wins it. I mean, at the same time, are we going to get the devil reveal after? Like, I feel like that kind of overshadows everything else that's going on.
Well, I mean,
has Samoa Joe been a part of that the whole time? Which, you know, I think is a possibility too, right?
So obviously he's working for the devil or something. So,
yeah.
Oh, I mean, at the end of Dynamite,
that's the whole thing. That's what I said earlier. Seth Rollins.
I didn't play enough of that clip.
MJF, and then gave him the what the hell is his finisher? The muscle buster, yeah. So.
The muscle buster?
Yeah. To you. Yeah. Right there.
Okay. Oh, there's the muscle buster part. Right, let's go back and. All right. Let's see what sells. There we go.
I'm glad you're doing business with you. What? What's this all?
Joe been working with the devil this whole time? I think Joe definitely has been working with the devil.
Yeah. Okay. And then the announcers put it over. I think Joe has definitely been working with the devil.
No, Joe actually admits it as well.
Okay. Well, we're not going to keep playing that.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. All right. Well, that's enough about AEW. So we'll see what happens tonight at World's End. We're not going to do a prediction battle or anything like that, but, you know, be interesting to see how they end it. But this episode is supposed to be about the best wrestlers, the best matches of 2023. So that's what we're going to do right now. So, Kevin, you have probably more of a detailed list than what I have. Riley, do you have a list right now? Or?
Oh, I have a list.
You have a list? Okay. All right. So what we'll do is we'll kind of go off of Kevin's list, and then you and I can kind of chime in with where we have ours ranked.
I have five.
And, I guarantee you we do whatever. Not have the same people really have on our list.
Honorable mentions or anything like that. Okay. I just kind of pick those five. As far as men, I've got, I mean, I guess I can write a fifth one in here real quick. Just because, like, I guess I would have, like, a lot of people tied for five. And then for women, I only have, like, three. Like, just three standouts, okay. And like everybody else is kind of
okay.
Mention.
Real quick, Riley, did you want to give us what was it last week that we did that you weren't able to join us for? It was the what did we do last week? It was the best moments, top moments, the top.
So top story, part? Top moment.
There's the moments and the storylines.
There we go. Yeah, moments and storylines. You got your list of those real quick you want to run down?
Yeah, I won't give you the storylines because, I mean, I guess I could. I mean, it's just like Judgment Day storyline, Bloodline storyline, Christian Cage, Patriarchy okay. storyline, the MJF storyline with Adam Cole. And then I guess only for a brief moment, the Bray Wyatt and Uncle Howdy storyline, because that was still going on at the beginning of the year.
Yeah. Okay.
So those are my five there. Then my moments, Carlito returning at Backlash. That was pretty awesome. All right,
we had that on our list.
Then we never saw him again. I mean, we have, but we really didn't. Gunther breaking the IC title reign.
Okay.
This one here is not really a moment, but kind of a collection of moments. It's yeet. No yeet. Really no yeet. I got my yeet back. No yeet.
That's
all right. I like it.
That, we didn't have that. That's...
Shane McMahon tearing his quad. And then Snoop Dogg.
It's a good
Snoop
one.
Dogg oh, had was... improvise. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's awesome. Man. Yeah. We did not have that one.
And then my last one is Bray Wyatt's promo on SmackDown on January 13th. And I only say that because I was watching it. It was pretty awesome.
Okay. All right. Oh, yeah, you were there for that, right?
I was there.
Yeah, that's cool. So. Yeah, we kind of ended with our top moment just being the passing of Bray Wyatt, like the oh my gosh moment.
Was I've the got that on there too. 100%. Yeah. Like it's not a top moment, but it affected all of us, I think, and.
Without doubt.
Just different ways. And I know, like, just, I believe I'm less than 30 months older than he was.
Yeah.
You know? So just, and I still, it's weird. I still miss him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Miss his character and miss the joy that he gave to us.
It's just that empty feeling to where, you know, you're never going to get the ending of whatever story he was trying to tell and stuff like that. So.
Not even the ending. I never won the ending. I just, you know, it was always just keep going.
No, so. I gotcha. Yeah. And that's pretty much where we were with it too. And there was nothing really that topped that for being, you know, being a moment, unfortunately, even though it was an unfortunate moment, it was still a shocking moment. So,
yep.
Yeah, sure.
All right. That's well, without further ado, let's get into the top five. Do you want to do females first?
Right. Well, I don't really have five. Right. Four.
So we got number five for female wrestlers of the year. All right, Riley, who do you got at number five?
Who I have at number five is Julia Hart.
Okay, all right. That's a pretty solid one. I definitely can see that. She's had, especially towards the end of the year, has had a really, really solid
come up. She would not have been on my list, so.
Was she on your list, Kev? She would have been an honorable mention for me, but yeah, I mean that's I can definitely see an argument where she could be top five. All right, what about number four?
Number four for me is going to be Zoe Stark.
Okay, all right.
You know,
what's the reasoning behind Zoe Stark?
Yeah, I wish they would give her more time on TV now, but just that. Story with Trish Stratus and being her bodyguard, and thank you, Trish. I mean, she really put it out there, and then she turned on her, and yeah. You know, and then she got the title shot, so she had a really good match for that as well. And I'm looking for better things for next year for her as well.
All right, well, that's, I mean, you made a great argument for it. Kev, you got Zoe Stark on your list at all?
Oh, Riley. I like to know. No. I like Jason's response. So he's like, okay, so well, he was nice and said, I mean, so what's your reason behind that? His... What Jason really meant to say, and what I was thinking is like, so Riley, what the fuck is wrong with you putting Zoe Stark in your thing. Top five? obviously,
there's a big difference between you two and me. I'm just a fan watching. You guys are like scientific in this. You guys are like, you gotta bring just, this in and bring cool this down, in like compound and then
just calm down.
Divide it into two and
all right.
I'm just back there watching. Just wait till my next one.
I'm gonna follow you on this far, Riley. Had Zoe Stark continued to be a heel after the Trish Stratus thing, I would have been more okay with it. And they could have easily done that. All they had to do was kind of flip it this way, is after Trish lost the match to Becky, have Zoe attack her and beat her down without, you know, Trish disrespecting her, and have Becky come in for the save. And then it would have been, you know, Zoe still a heel, but she's moving on from Trish. And I think that would have been, I think that Zoe Stark, that she started with Trish, that heel-ish Zoe Stark, to me, has more legs than the babyface version or whatever she is now. It's kind of more of like a tweener character. Like she just doesn't have the personality to me. Because her promo skills as a babyface to me just aren't strong enough. But I really did enjoy that thank you Trish version of Zoe Stark. I think she did a great job with that. Like, I really did enjoy that as a fan. But yeah, I don't know, man. Since that ended, though, there's just been nothing with it. And I think that's why she
wrote it on my
list. I'm not saying that's her fault. I'm not saying that's her fault. You're right. That's not her fault, but it's the case.
All right. So my number three, I got you.
All right, Kevin, what you got for us?
Her being the champion, and even though she's not the leader of Damage Control. Just everything, you know, constantly always putting on great matches, War Games, everything, you know, that was a big thing, her winning the title. So I got you at number three.
I like that.
No. I'm going to write here. I'm going to write it down.
No, you want to know now? Go ahead. Guess who I'm going to say. No, Kevin, go ahead. Okay, write it down.
Oh. I didn't write that. I tell you what, I would have put Green. Chelsea and Piper like maybe 6, 7, like as a team. I mean, honestly, like.
Okay. Yeah.
No, just her by herself. I mean, she had to, you know, they had to improvise and get her a new partner. They've done a great job. Just, I want to speak with your manager. All the videos that they did, like, the whole highlight that they did on, I think, Raw for Chelsea Green just summed up why she's good.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that. I would have Chelsea Green probably at 4 or 5 for me. Like she has been a very mainstay the whole since she's come back to WWE, and she has kind of been undeniable. And they finally kind of broke that curse of the women's tag team champions, or she did basically by being the one who didn't get injured and kind of carrying it on. So I can see that. But to Kevin's point for number 3, I like Io there. I think that's a pretty solid position for her. You know, you think back to when Io won the championship being a Money in the Bank cash in. A lot of people didn't put a lot of stock or equity in her championship mm-hmm. run and expected it to be very short. And she's going on what, 9 months or something like that as the women's champion, and she's done a great job with it. And even though, you know, she's not portrayed as the leader of Damage Control, she basically is the leader of Damage Control because she's quietly taking it over. You know, she brought in Kyrie, she brought in Asuka, and she's kind of slowly just pushing Bayley to the side and becoming not so much the vocal leader, but still the leader. So I do like Io at number 3 there.
So I'm going to have to strongly disagree.
Okay.
I put her at number 2.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. I like that. All right. That's solid. I think you could make an argument either way.
Just because, I mean, who's number 2 for you, Kev? There. That's kind of a cliche thing of being that high. But
okay,
how she's completely just boom, this character. And yeah, and yes, timeless Toni Storm. And maybe it's only happened this back half of the year, but she works. She's always been a good worker. She's always been a good wrestler, but the character and the stories and everything, and just how it's evolved. And to me, I put her that high just because outside of the whole Devils thing, MJF, Adam Cole, this is some of the best stuff that AEW has had and hopefully continue to build on. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I had Toni a little bit higher on my list, or I guess lower. I would have had her at about, I think, 5, because, well, maybe, I don't know, probably 4 or 5, just because the longevity of the character. It just hasn't been around long enough to kind of gain the legs, you know, and there's some women out there that have been doing it longer and more throughout the year. So I guess, to me, I think so. If it would have been going on all year, though, it could have been my number 1 because it's been that good. So I like that. Was Timeless Toni on your list, Riley?
She's in my top 10.
Top 10. Okay. All right. Yeah. So an honorable mention for the top 5. All right. So I got to know who's your number 1s.
I'll go first.
Okay. I can guess Riley's pretty.
I don't think you can.
Really?
I think Kevin wrote it down.
Look right there.
All right.
All right.
Indy. You saw I didn't write anything well. Down.
Yeah, she's your number right 1. Right there.
And I signed it with my signature.
I have, in course, just joking around. I love Indy Hartwell. But of course, come on, how it is great going to that? Be mommy. Real.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's mine.
That's
too.
Who I thought you were going to go with.
I would debate that she's.
That was good.
Men, women, number 1 overall. Because not only is she dominant, a champion, had great matches. We'll get to that. But she's the leader of Judgment Day, pretty much. Things go as she goes. Mm-hmm. So. And she's another. She could be, if they wanted her to be, another Roman Reigns-esque type dominant champion. So there's no, when PWI comes out or whatever, if she's not number 1 in the women's, something's wrong.
No, I agree with that. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, I cannot disagree with anything you said there. I would have taken
Mommy, I mean,
Mommy would have been my number one too. Mommy's always on top. So
yeah,
I mean, you need I say more?
You mean the women?
All right. So Mommy's on top of the men. So
okay, so I got an honorable mention women real quick,
and the men really.
Actually, but, you know,
so who's our top five?
He would be
5A for this year.
Is Dominic Mysterio?
Okay.
I just somebody slightly ahead of him just because of whatever. Okay. But like, Dom would have been my number five. It doesn't have to be quality of matches or anything like that. Just the evolution of him, and you go back to WrestleMania. You know what I mean? Putting on, you know, if there wasn't so many great matches on that first night, like that was with the entrances and everything, that could have been the show stealer. But there was so many goddamn good matches, and that we'll get to also. But like, so yeah, I would say Dom is my
everything on WrestleMania.
But if I was gonna be number five, I just put Seth Rollins in there. Yeah. World champion, whatever, like. Me personally, there's times I don't really like Seth Rollins. I mean, he is this may be up for debate. He is good. There's no doubt about it. I just think he thinks he's better than he is.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
So that's not character to you though? That's like him, for real, you think, or
not saying like Will Ospreay's better, but like him to come out and say he's better than Will Ospreay. Okay. Like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, you don't know. Like, it's the two different, they're kind of the same styles, but not really. Seth doesn't do some of the stuff he does. Will doesn't do some of the stuff Seth does. You know what I mean? So I think Seth's a better, like, promo storyteller than Will Ospreay. I think if it came to talent, I think Ospreay's maybe slightly ahead.
Promo. And.
But anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I just, I'm a sucker for champions.
Well, I agree with that, Kevin.
You know what I
mean?
He's been a pretty good champion. it slowed off probably with injuries and this and that and everything, but like, all right. Johnny Gargano, number five, go ahead.
Well, who'd you have a number five?
No, as soon as I say my honorable mention for the females, it'll give away my number five. So my honorable mention for the females is Chad Gable's daughter. Her reaction, you know, it broke the world's heart.
You know what?
With that being said, my number five is so Chad many. Gable.
But, like, okay. I'll tell you what, I would put him like 15 or 20 or 25 just because maybe 35. So. What?
There, he's
definitely.
There's so much more that he could be doing.
Riley's 100. Riley's 100% correct. There is a lot more that he could be doing, but the character work, the leading the faction, he's been doing it on Raw and NXT. I can definitely see an argument for Chad Gable being a top five. I think he's. He has the ability to be a top star. Like, he just hasn't quite gotten there yet. I hope I could see a Kurt Angle type run in this guy. It's just, are they willing to invest that and make it happen? Because if you watch the match he had with Gunther, I mean, that would be in my top five of that's in my top five of matches for sure. Like, that was one of the best matches I've seen all year. And I know it takes two to tango, and Gunther is really good, and Gunther puts on good matches with everybody. But, you know, Chad had the story. like with his kids and his daughter there. He had the, you know, he had the whole, you know, the build up to the match, which got you excited for it, and the match itself delivered, and that alone, you know, was a hell of a time. But then you go to NXT, you see what he's doing with Noam Dar. You go to, you know, he's everywhere. So I can see that for sure. I like
25, Chad. 35, he would be, whatever.
Definitely not in my top 25. He would probably be in my top 8.
I have Roman at number 4. Just because, I mean, he's got to be at number 5. And I put him slightly ahead, obviously, champion-wise, okay, or whatever. I know he hasn't worked much this year.
Without a doubt.
He's still top 5 to me. Every time he is, whether he's out there on the mic in a match or whatever, it's the best. There's nothing bad there. So I just because I put Roman there.
I don't disagree. I mean, Roman probably would have been.
Yes.
I probably would have Roman 2 on my list. Or even 1, because he's special. Every time he appears, it's a big deal. Every time he's in a match, it's a big deal. It's box office. It doesn't matter. He could wrestle twice a year. He could wrestle 20 times a year. Yep. He could wrestle 40 times a year. Every single. But honestly, I guess if it was 40 times a year, it wouldn't be maybe as special. But every time he steps in there, it's special. So I would have Roman top 2 for sure. Riley, what do you got for?
He's definitely in my top 25.
Okay. Number 4 is Zoe Stark's brother.
I have him at 6.
All right.
Kirk Stark.
Kirk Stark. Oh, the only reason I didn't get Roman Reigns in there is, and probably a bad reason, I just want more of it.
Yeah.
You know, I wish he was around just more. And that's probably like why I didn't put him in there, is if he was around more, we wouldn't like him as much or want him as much or need him, you know. But at my number 4, I put Carmelo Hayes.
Okay. All right. I like Carmelo Hayes. Yeah, he's had a hell of a year with NXT. Yeah. I got a few people I'd probably put ahead of him, like but I can see an argument for it.
Hey, you're going with your scientific brains. I'm going with MJF
at number 3.
Heart.
He's going with his heart.
I mean, there's no really no discussion.
So who's the number 3 then?
And the fact that how he's even evolved his character, turned face, but yet still kind of himself. You know what I mean? Like, especially when he first paired up with Adam Cole and was slapping, you know, hands with the fans and stuff and everything, and
he's our scumbag,
all that stuff. You're kind of like, oh, he's just kind of mocking shit, you know what I mean? So how he's evolved, and plus, you know, he, you know, puts on quality matches, and I mean, he's got to be on your list. Yes.
Yeah. Right. It seemed like he was mocking it because he was uncomfortable with it. But the longer it went on, the more comfortable he got with it. Now it doesn't seem that way anymore. So that just kind of shows that extra evolution in the character. So did you have MJF in your top 5?
I did not. He's 7 and 8 with Adam Cole, but okay. Adam Cole is ahead of him.
Okay. Bay. All right. So who's number 3 for you?
Dominic Mysterio.
Dom, okay. Yep. All right. We talked about Dom and everything he's done. Now, for me, I would have had Swerve Strickland at number 3. Swerve, to me, has just been on a different level since being in AEW, and his rise throughout the year, his character work, the storylines he's had with MJF, with Adam Page, and even the backstage he had with MJF, where he held his own going back and forth with him, everything that he had going on with Keith Lee at first, and you know, the evolution of the Mogul Embassy, just the package with Nana and all that. It's just been really good. It's been one of the bright spots in in AEW. So
I got number two at Cody.
My MJF would have been my number two, I think.
Just because, for the year. I mean, again, so. Yeah, he's Cody, no explanation.
But
the match, him and Roman. So I don't.
Okay.
So I'll just.
Solid choice. Ahead.
Like in my top five, I don't have him and Roman in top five, but it's it was pretty close. Yeah. It was kind of an underrated match that you forgot about just because of him losing. But I mean, the three series with Brock,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like Brock's Brock, but like Cody pulled off some great shit in those matches and to make him credible. So those three matches alone to me is why he's number two. And like I said, he's Cody. He's one of the faces of the company.
Okay. All right.
So I'll just mind. I have to go through number
Gunther.
One.
Yeah, that's a solid choice. that is.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I would say Gunther probably would have been my number one as well. I mean, he can't argue with the year that he's had. So I mean, it's match after match has been amazing. His character work has been amazing. Like he's just been. I mean, once Roman's title reign is over, I think Gunther will have the next like really long dominant title reign with the WWE Championship. So I mean, it's coming. So we know what Kevin's number one is. So what was yours, Riley?
So
Indy Hartwell.
No, I'm surprised you don't know this one. I know he was gone way too soon, but he's still my number one, Bray Wyatt.
Okay, all right, I like it. I wish we got to see some matches out of him, and I mean, I guess we saw the one in the Royal Rumble was 2023, but that's sad.
It still counts, Kevin. It still counts. 2023, get it in your head. I don't know how to explain this anymore to you. It's the whole year. It still counts.
So do you guys think,
unless they have somebody else,
do you guys think Bray will be inducted in the Hall of Fame this upcoming year?
They are going to give maybe it's gonna, you know what I mean? Like, yeah.
My only thing would be the family, whether or not they want to wait, because I know they. I think I talked about this before. I guess the WWE 2K showcase was supposed to be Bray Wyatt, but the family wanted some time before like doing a project like that. Like they were, and even they put a pause on like any new figures coming out and everything too. So they wanted more time to kind of grieve and let that process happen. So I don't know if maybe it's too soon. They're not ready. So I would think if the only reason he wouldn't be would be for that reason.
I think they should wait. You know.
Okay.
You know, I know it's WWE is a different sport than everything else, but like most sports you have to wait so many years before you can get in.
I kind of
wish they would do something like that. Like I don't like them putting Rey Mysterio in the Hall of Fame when he's still active. Wrestling. Yeah.
Like when Eddie passed, they put him in right away.
5 years, five years for players. Give it a little bit of time, coaches, I believe. You
know. Yeah. Yeah. What's that? The NFL isn't like 7 years after you retire is when you become eligible.
Five years.
Okay. Yeah, I mean that would make sense, honestly. I mean, but I think.
No rules. It's wrestling.
I don't know. I don't know why they do that, where they have people go in right away or while they're still active. It just doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me either. But,
right.
It's true. That's true. And even if you waited 7 years, there's no guarantee that person might not come back and have a match anyway.
Right.
Or 5 years, you know.
Edge.
Yeah.
Right. I think so. Yeah. I mean, you know, Edge retired and then.
Well, I know we're getting to the hour mark. Later.
But Edge didn't go in the same year he retired, though. It was a couple years after.
Yeah, I try to go through them.
Right.
Yeah, so. I mean, because if I don't get upstairs and start making dinner, everybody in my house will starve, apparently.
So you want to hurry up and get through that? All right.
So, number five, I got Brian MJF, the Iron Man match.
Yeah, I got to make that. All right, let's run through the top matches real
overtime.
Quick.
Overtime.
We'll start at number five.
67 minutes or whatever. You know, Iron Man matches, you know, I kind of agree with Conrad Thompson with Iron Man matches. Well, I'll just fast forward to the end. You know what I mean? Like, why do I have to sit here and watch this whole thing? But this was one of those that made you, like, pretty interested the whole time. So I got them at number five. And it put in it, like, you knew Brian could do that. You didn't quite know if MJF could do that. And he did that. Another reason why
I had it was entertaining
because of that match.
So I agree.
Yeah.
Was that on your list, Riley?
It was not. I don't have any AEW match. Mine was Seth versus AJ at Night of Champions for the title.
Okay. That was a good one. Very solid.
The series.
Very solid. What was your number four, Riley?
Definitely put, you could pick any
mine
of those
was
matches.
Three matches.
For sure, top 10.
Cody three and matches. Rock. Cody and
Oh,
Rock.
The series, Cody. Okay.
The series, yeah. And then.
Yeah.
Was there one of the three that stood out more than any of them?
The last one was the best, I think. You know,
I think so too. I agree with that.
The handshake at the end.
Which was impromptu, apparently. Like, Cody had no idea that was coming. You could kind of tell the look on his face. He was a little worried when Brock took the gloves off.
Yeah.
I love the fact that Brock was yanking up his arm,
Omega
Osprey, which was his broken arm.
Right.
I know a lot of people didn't get to see it or whatever. But people probably saw
what was your number?
Think, like, the match
number four
was better. I honestly think the first one was tremendous. You could actually, I actually found it. Watched it. On YouTube, you know, it was more than just like a spot fest. It was, you know, it was hard hitting, you know, good storytelling, good build up to the match or whatever. It just was, you know, tremendous work. If you like just watching work and moves, like it was a hell of a match. So that's my number four. Oh, me? Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So, number three.
How about your number three?
Did we do Riley's number four? We did. Okay, sorry. I'm used to me leaving.
Yeah, you.
All right, my number three.
We're just going to go back and forth.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh. I know. I'm trying to save time.
My number three, Sami KO versus Usos main event night one WrestleMania.
I still have a while to dinner, so I can go as
awesome
long
match,
as I need to.
Goosebumps. You know, that was one of my top moments of the year. Tremendous. So that's my number three.
Good match. Hell of a match.
Okay.
Yeah. I like it.
My number two.
Oh, okay. So what was your number
10,
two, then?
25.
My number three is Gable versus Gunther for the IC title. It was a title versus streak. Sure.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
That would have been in my top five as well.
My
and
number
honestly,
two was
I think
Rhea
number
and
three
Charlotte
is a really good
one,
spot for it
because
that was one hell of a match. Like, that was one of my favorite matches all year. So what was your number two then, Kevin, since you're shitting on Gunther and Gable? See, that might have been my number one. I had a hard time thinking of that list because that match was so freaking good. And Michael Cole, I think, said it best, like male or female, it doesn't matter. That was one of the best matches that I've ever seen. And it was. Like, it told a great story. It was physical. It was everything that you wanted it to be, and it over delivered on the hype. So that match is definitely needs to be on the list. Did you have that one as your number one, Riley? Did you have something else?
It should be my number one, and you guys are gonna shit on my number one. And I don't care. I think nobody liked the match to begin with, but I loved it to begin with. It was the pitch black match, Bray Wyatt versus LA Knight. I enjoyed that match. A lot of people did not like that match. I love the ending when they threw him off the top, and then you had all the characters.
I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying
we were gonna see something, but I really enjoyed that match. I liked the change, but there we go. Go ahead, Kevin. No, I'm just kidding.
So I thought that match had a great concept. I loved the look of it. The spot where Uncle Howdy jumped off the thing, like he missed LA Knight by about a mile. So I get why people kind of shit on that.
I don't care about that. That was the aftermath.
But like when they did that spot where they went through the table and the table exploded and all that confetti came up, that was cool.
Yeah.
Like it was actually like for those gimmicky matches, it was done really well. And Bray looked freaking awesome, especially when he put that mask on and he had all that, everything like painted on him and stuff like that.
It's my number one. And I think this should be a consensus across the board.
I'm not for that one at all. I don't know if it'd be my number one, but it's definitely match, the top 10. That was a fun match that they had.
It was the trend from night one WrestleMania. It's Gunther versus Sheamus versus Drew McIntyre. Hands down, a 5-star match. I've been in my research and everything. I was trying to get other people's opinions on different things, saying, hey, do I agree with that or not? Like different report, you know, whatever. And it was pretty high consensus through a lot, like Bleacher Report, like a lot of places. In my opinion, match of the year. Just hard hitting, just badass. And, you know, really, you know what I mean? Like Gunther coming out on top. You know what I mean? I think Jason, back when we picked it, we thought like Sheamus was going to win. We'd be like, okay, you know, this is a way for Gunther to lose the title or whatever, and came out on top. And then, you know what I mean? Like that started the whole trend with everything. Why he's wrestler of the year, match of the year, in my opinion, hands down. And there was a lot of great matches this year too.
Which shows
you too.
Yeah, you're right. Like that was.
I completely. But forgot that shows about you that
too
match.
That night one of WrestleMania. But
as soon as you said that, single best like, night. Bells are going off in my head. Like because, holy cow!
In my opinion,
Kevin's right.
Those three matches are of three of the best matches of the entire year, and they were all on night one. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just going through, so I had a list pulled up from whataculture.com, and they had like the 10 best wrestling matches from AEW and WWE. And just so everybody knows, the three of us primarily watch WWE and AEW. Don't watch a lot of New Japan. I mean, NXT on occasion. There were some decent matches in NXT, but we really don't watch like Ring of Honor. We really don't watch Impact or anything like that. So if there were great matches or great moments that happen from those promotions and stuff like that, they're going to be omitted from our list because we just don't have time to watch all that stuff. Like we have lives and families and dogs and stuff to take care of. We don't, you know, we can't consume all the wrestling content.
Honestly, we barely have time to watch all of AEW and WWE stuff. Most of the time we don't even get through all of that. So
yeah, right. Exactly. So, What a Culture had number one, Brian versus Zack Sabre Jr. from Wrestle Dream, which was a good match, but it was on kind of a throwaway pay-per-view for them. Omega and Ospreay was their number two from Wrestle Kingdom. Brian and MJF was their number three. So, of course, so their top three are AEW. Brian versus Ricky Starks from All Out was number four. Omega and Ospreay at Forbidden Door was number five. And then, so Gunther, McIntyre, and Sheamus was their number six. The Elite versus the Black Bolt Combat Club from Double or Nothing was number seven, which that one to me was just kind of a bloodfest. And they had that exploding shoe. Like that to me was not a great match. I don't know what. Yeah, see, Hangman and Swerve was on mine.
Yeah.
That was a really good match. Viking Raiders and Alpha Academy were number 8 for them. And then Charlotte and Rhea were number 9, that's criminally too not. Yeah, that should have been way lower on the list. And then number 10 was Omega versus Vikingo. But yeah, I think our list is better than One of Cultures personally. So, but hey, thank you guys for coming equipped with that. I think we pretty much covered everything we needed to cover there. Let us know on X what your list is. Tweet us at Live Your Gimmick. That's the at symbol followed by LIVYOURGIMMICK. Let us know if you agree with what we posted or if you had something else. But that's really all we got for this week and for 2023. So the next time we talk to everybody, it's going to be 2024, and we're going to be looking forward to the Royal Rumble and kind of starting everything all over again. So I'm sure next week we'll cover everything that happened tonight on World's End.
Day one. We'll get into Monday.
You know, what's going on in the world of WWE leading up to the Rumble. And,
yes, and so and I all wanted to talk about that real quick.
So, you guys got anything before we close it out? The former champion is.
It could be Batista. It could be Bob Backlund. We don't
know. Oh, yeah. And a tease. It's a former Did you see champion. The tease from Triple H?
Let the speculation begin. It could be.
It's Sasha Banks.
Well, Jason, Dave Meltzer said the talks are off, so it's not hurt.
Triple H doesn't usually feed into stuff like that, and I feel like I don't think he's gonna. So did Fightful, and guess who else they said that about right before Survivor Series. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's the exact same story they ran with CM Punk before Survivor Series. Oh, talks have ended. They're not in negotiations anymore. Yes, they're not in negotiations anymore because it's already signed. It's already happened. Like it's for sure. But yeah, I mean, I feel like it's gonna be Sasha, but yeah, it could be somebody else. Who knows? But I think for Triple H to come out and say that, it's going to be somebody that we're going to be excited to see, because he's not one to promise. I guess he's not promising anything, but he's not one to tease like a big announcement and then have it be a fart in church. You know what I mean? Like it's going to be somebody that everybody cares about. And and imagine how bad that looks though. Yep. Imagine how bad that's going to look, though, for AEW, who teased her at Wembley and then didn't sign her. And she's going to be back like that. That's going to be interesting if it ends up being her. So I'm excited to see who shows up at day one. I think it's going to be a fun show anyway. But the fact that they're going to have a debuting or returning person is going to be huge. So this could be exciting. Cool. All right. Well, we'll see what happens. Anyway, well, thank you guys for listening this week. Thank you for listening this entire year to our show. Hopefully we're going to grow onto bigger and better things in 2024. For Kevin and Riley, who was able to finally pop in and join us, I'm Jason, reminding all of you beautiful smarks out there to be a fan, but always live your gimmick. Goodbye, everybody. Happy New Year.
I was given the wrong time, but I showed up.
You did. You persevered. I appreciate it. Goodbye, everybody.